as conservative social media influencers, but now the campaign for a period of time, that is troubling.
The Senate Judiciary Committee has a hearing next Friday to get answers from Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey. More European nations implement new restrictions.
Italy has reported 10,000 new infections in a day. Here in Britain, targeted restrictions for London come into effect tonight. In France, a curfew in Paris and other cities begins this weekend.
Fox's Simon Owen. America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Exciting forecast because we get our first taste of some really true fall air this weekend. That cold front we've been telling you about all week is sweeping through the state today. You'll feel a noticeable change. Today will be a breezy day, cool, high temperature up to about 72, gusty northerly winds, jacket weather tonight, clear skies, chilly. The overnight low temperature will fall to the mid-40s by dawn. Tomorrow and Sunday, nearly perfect, abundant sunshine, low humidity, 74 tomorrow, 49 tomorrow night, upper 70s on Sunday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Are you tired of renting instead of building equity in your home? ASC Credit Union can help. With historic low rates and an easy approval process, your dream of owning a new home can be a reality. Schedule an appointment or apply online. ASC Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender. NMLS number 420259.
Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Montgomery police are investigating the death of a toddler as a homicide. Police say 2-year-old Cole Cherry was taken to the hospital after being physically assaulted last Friday. The child later died. 25-year-old Isidore Holliday Jr. is now charged with capital murder. The State Department of Public Health reports more than 148,000 Alabamians have tested positive for COVID-19. Health officials say close to 2,600 people have died. Statewide hospitalizations are now at 844. And the city of Montgomery has big plans for Garrett Coliseum. The city plans to do $20 million in renovations to not just the Coliseum, but also the barns on the property. City leaders say the goal is to start construction in April of next year. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
I'm Ralph Holly with Holly's Home Furnishings. I've been advertising with Blue Water for over 2 years and have seen tremendous results. As a family-owned business, it's great to do business with a family-owned business like Blue Water Broadcasting.
If you're a local business, 93% of your customers listen to radio every week. Reach customers where they are. Radio. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Hello, everybody. This is Doug Singleton with Bernie Office Solutions. If you've been around Montgomery as long as I have, you may recall calling Bernie for all your typewriter needs. Well, we've evolved past typewriters, even though our experienced techs can still fix them. Bernie's now a member of the Xerox Business Solution with offices throughout the Southeast. Bernie is more than just a local copier company you have trusted for over 55 years. We have become specialists in remote worker, learning transition technology, and digital marketing campaigns. Did you know that Xerox provides managed IT services? With over 30 years of nationwide experience delivering industry-leading IT services, we are poised to help your organization get the most value from your technology investments. Whether your focus is printing systems, local network support, or leveraging the power of the cloud, Xerox has the resources and know-how to get your organization on the cutting edge. Give us a call at 271-4750 or on my cell at 201-0199.
It's the best 10 days of fall, the Alabama National Fair. Due to inclement weather for the Salute to America's Veterans on opening night, the event will now be held tonight. All active and retired military get in free with proper ID. It's the Alabama National Fair's way of saying thanks for your service. This year at the fair, there's live entertainment nightly on our all-new outdoor stage, sponsored by Haynes Ambulance, Haynes Lighting, and Haynes Vinyl. There's plenty of great rides and games on the Midway, and great outdoor shows like the Zerbini Family Circus, sponsored by Tucker's Pecans. The Sea Lion Splash, sponsored by Cowan's Equipment, plus lots more. And don't forget, Sunday is First Responders Day. All first responders and members of their immediate household 18 and under get in free, courtesy of Haynes Ambulance. Visit alnationalfair.org or download our free app for a complete listing of daily events at the fair. Now through Sunday.
The Alabama National Fair.
Presented by the Kiwanis Club of Montgomery, Pepsi, and HMMA.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show. On a Friday, TGIF, last hour of the Dan Morris Show on the TGIF edition. Then Dan and Joey will be out of here, getting ready to have fun during the weekend. Looking forward to all the football, looking forward to the cold weather, looking forward to the steak, looking forward to the corona, looking forward to the queso, the salsa, and guacamole. I'm looking forward to eating and drinking as well, and watching football. That's what it gets down to. And then we have the Braves game tonight. I made the best spaghetti last night. I mean, really, kick-butt spaghetti.
Mm.
With that sweet sausage from Fresh Market, the Whole Foods 365 marinara sauce, which is dirt cheap and very, very good, and put mushrooms and sliced olives in it, onions that have been sauteed, some peppers. Good show. Let me go here. Mention I need to go eat. Good glass of red wine. Nobody gets hurt. Let's go to Real Clear Politics. Bevin talking about, Blevin talking about Florida. Listen in.
The president heading to Florida and Georgia today. Joe Biden will be heading to Michigan. Some key places that the candidates will be visiting. Tom Bevin is going to join us now for a spin on the touchscreen this morning. Tom, we love doing this with you, founder and CEO of Real Clear Politics. Tom, you take a look at where the president is first heading. He should be departing the White House next. Sorry, he'll be departing Miami next hour, heading to Ocala, Florida. This is, of course, Marion County. He's going to be spending time, if you look back at the 2016 results, in a county he solidly won in the last presidential election. So why does the president want to spend time there other than just hoping for a repeat?
Well, because I think the president needs to make sure that his base is energized and excited. And in fact, the latest poll in Florida shows that he's got about a 17-point advantage over Joe Biden in terms of the enthusiasm factor, who's excited about turning out on November 3rd. And so that's one of the reasons. Florida, obviously critical to his reelection hopes. He can't really win the White House again if he doesn't win Florida.
You heard me say that at the beginning of the week. Also, what happens is you want to go to places, and they keep incredible numbers on these rallies. They look at the number of people who voted in 2016, number of people who were not registered to vote, and the people who did not vote in 2016 but were registered to vote. There's a huge number of never registered and didn't vote in 2016. And that is so. You can get a group of those in, get them registered, and get them to the polls, you're going to win. Let me go to Patrick. Patrick, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Morris. Listen, I'd just like to make a small comment as an attorney about this claim that the Democrat Party is presenting that the nomination of Judge Barrett is somehow either illegitimate or unconstitutional, both of which are false. And I just bring you back, anybody can check us on any historical site, and it's provable that in the last month of the Adams, John Adams administration, the last month, he'd already lost the election of 1800. And in February of 1801, the then Chief Justice Oliver Ellsworth became quite ill and resigned from office. And Adams turned to his own Secretary of State, John Marshall, nominated Marshall in the first week of February 1801, and Marshall was confirmed by the Senate. Now, obviously, Adams was a Federalist, and the Senate was held at that time by the majority was in the Federalist Party. And Marshall was confirmed the very next day and took his seat the following day with his commission, and he went on to serve from February of 1801 until, I believe, 1835, 1836.
Man, that's a long time back then.
He served 30, oh, he was quite an elderly man, but he, Marshall was considered, and is considered by every scholar, every legal scholar, to be our greatest Chief Justice. And anybody who denies that is obviously is either illiterate or unlearned. But Marshall was appointed to the bench as the Chief Justice within the last month of the outgoing Adams administration. So there is ample precedent to show to anybody who refutes this. The president who holds the position of president remains the president until the exchange of office takes place at that time, March the 4th, now January the 20th. The president is the president, and should the party in power belong to the president, then they have every legal right and every legal opportunity to put onto the bench whomever is deemed fit with the advice and consent of the Senate. And I'd just like to just bring a historical fact out that Marshall was appointed in the outgoing Adams administration within 4 weeks of Adams leaving office. I just bring up to the...
No, that's exactly right. And the Constitution says that the president will nominate and the Senate will look to confirm.
Right.
Exactly. And so it doesn't mean that they have to, but that's, you know, it's a two-step process. President does one step, Senate does the other step.
Well, what's obviously happened in the last, really since Lyndon Johnson tried the failed Abe Fortas, that kind of started it. And certainly by the time Robert Bork was appointed by then President Reagan,
right.
The knives were out. And ever since the Bork nomination, since 1987, it has been an absolute political theater. None of the justices currently served have gone through unscathed, some less so than others. Obviously, Justice Gorsuch did not receive the same outrage that Justice Kavanaugh did. I personally don't think that a single senator has laid a single glove on Judge Barrett. She came across exceedingly well, and I just think that her nomination will, had it not been an election year, she'd probably got three-fourths of the senator's vote, but obviously she won't. But the problem with the nomination process today, it is absolute political theater. Nobody takes it seriously as far as the advice and consent concept of actually looking into the judicial candidate's qualifications. And that's very unfortunate to the American public.
What do you think would help to make that change?
The Constitution is the Constitution, and it's the duty of the president.
No, I'm talking about where they will fight, and because they take this as a personal war of trying to get rid of a nominee.
In all honesty, the entire judicial process since the Warren Court in the 60s has become, the Democrats view the judicial branch as a secondary legislative branch. And what they cannot get through the...
And don't forget about Hugo Black now.
What about Hugo Black? Well, he wasn't nominated for any intellectual competence.
No.
He was nominated because he was a very strong supporter of New Deal legislation.
Exactly.
When the first vacancy came open in 1937, Franklin Roosevelt reached out to Hugo Black, who he knew was a strong supporter of New Deal legislation. That's how he got it. He was a political crony of Roosevelt.
Absolutely. And what he didn't apply the law at all. What he did is he applied political policy.
Well, that's true. Now, of course, and Hugo Black was widely and is still widely criticized as an absolutist view on the First Amendment. Nobody who really reads the Constitution seriously believes that every single right in the First Amendment is a absolutist, as you can't scream fire in a crowded theater, as Holmes once said, you know. But my point being is that the reason why Hugo Black was on the bench was he was a strong supporter of New Deal legislation, and that's what Franklin Roosevelt wanted. And he got what he wanted. And it was a Democratic-controlled Senate for a long time. Really, I think until, 1946, when the Republicans finally, after World War II, before the Republicans ever got...
It was only a brief time. They didn't get it back into the 1980s.
That's true. But all during, Truman, President Harry Truman, put on three three justices, none of whom remembered for anything because they were his three poker playing buddies, from what I understand. And Eisenhower put on several, but of course Eisenhower said that putting Earl Warren on the bench was the biggest fool mistake he'd ever made.
And he was right.
He was right. But Warren had led the this coalition in California. Of course, Warren was the former governor, former attorney general, and a former prosecutor from Alameda County. And Warren was considered a law and order candidate. I mean, it was Earl Warren who had rounded up the Japanese in 1942 and put them in the relocation camps. And, you know, that had been widely criticized, but he stood behind that decision as necessary under military circumstances in early 1942. So Earl Warren wanted to become Chief Justice. He asked for that position. He had been a strong supporter of Eisenhower, and Eisenhower, as a political favor, gave him that.
Yep.
And came to regret it, of course, obviously.
All of us did. What type of law do you practice?
Sir?
What type of law do you practice?
I specialize in criminal law, mostly in, I hate to say it, DUIs and drunks. DUIs and drugs.
But, Joey? Well, DUI business is not what it used to be.
No, and actually, it's not. And I'm not advocating anybody should ever consume alcohol and operate a motor vehicle. It's quite dangerous. But for those who do get apprehended, there is an opportunity for legal counsel, and they should use their legal and constitutional rights to defend themselves.
My son knows that very well.
Yes, sir.
Patrick, enjoy talking to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Have a great one. We're going to be back right after this.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Revolutionary in his field, Dr. Bonatti created, perfected, and patented the Bonatti spine procedures. Using his genius, Bonatti invented the precise tools necessary to minimize surgery, scarring, anesthesia, and recovery. So successful are the Bonatti spine procedures, they consistently reflect 98.75% patients satisfaction. 60,000 procedures have been performed exclusively at our location. Nearly half our patients have suffered from failed back and neck surgeries at other facilities. Bonatti succeeds where others fail.
At Spire, we know the value that natural gas brings to the communities we serve, from a hot shower after a long day to the warmth and comfort of a cozy home. And we know that in any year, some of us struggle to make ends meet. But this year isn't just any year. If you're struggling to pay your natural gas bill, we're here to help. Our dedicated team of community support specialists is ready to help identify the assistance program that's right for you. To learn more, call us or visit us online at spireenergy.com/assistance.
Come on, boy, finish your business, and we'll get you back inside.
Hey, neighbor, trouble with those allergies again?
Yep, tried just about everything, but he's still scratching all day, every day. Feels so bad for the little guy.
Happened to us not long ago. Randy at Prattville Farm Center recommended Victor dog food. No corn, wheat, gluten, or soy. Plus, it's cheaper than the food I was buying across town.
Happy allergy-free dogs eat Victor dog food from Prattville Farm Center. 1154 South Memorial Drive, 365-5400.
Hi, I'm Todd with River Region Contracting, a premier roofing contractor. Most people don't think that they have a roofing problem until they see water spots and stains on their ceiling. By then, it may be a little too late because the wooden decking that supports their shingle or metal roof may be holding moisture, causing it to rot. Most insurance companies will not pay for the decking, causing you to pay more money out of your own pocket. Why not call us today and set up an appointment for a free roofing inspection? It could save you some money. Call us at 334-356-8635 or go to riverregioncontracting.com. Or like us on Facebook.
An official message from Medicare.
So, did you try it yet?
Comparing plans? Oh, yeah. They sure can change year to year.
Well, I found lower prescription costs and historically low plan premiums.
Ooh, how about those new insulin savings? Hundreds of plans, $35 a month.
That'll save you money.
Comparing plans really pays.
Mm-hmm.
Compare plans from home at Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Have you heard about the Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest?
They're talking about on the radio, you know.
Well, you can hear it on the radio. I mean the radio. Weekday evenings at 6 on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
That's where we are. This Bevin with Real Clear Politics, he's going to get into Georgia now. Listen in.
Meanwhile, he's going to head up to Macon, Georgia, a bit later on. These are both MAGA rallies that the president is going to be holding. He's heading to Bibb County specifically. You can see it here. Blue County, Hillary Clinton solidly won in 2016, 60% of the vote there. What does it say that the president, what are we, 18 days out from Election Day? What does it say that he's spending time in Georgia this close to Election Day?
Right. Well, I mean, Georgia is one of those states that's been moving, trending more Democratic over time. It's a state Trump won by 5 points, last time around, but it's going to be closer this time. And the polls show Biden with a very small lead now on, Real Clear Politics average. I think the Trump folks feel good about Georgia, but again, they're not taking anything for granted, and they have to make sure that they get their base turned out in a state like Georgia to be competitive with the vote that Biden's going to pick up, obviously, in Atlanta, Fulton County, and the suburbs.
And also there's a congressional district that they could win that's in Bibb County. And that's an important factor for them. There's when you look at where they're going, there's always an underlying pattern of congressional seats. The Iowa trip, for example, that trip was that they did targeted two congressional seats is why they picked Des Moines versus Cedar Rapids and Council Bluff and all that, because it straddled two congressional seats. So let's say it was real clear, and Biden is going to be in Michigan. Listen in.
While the president is traveling down south, Joe Biden will head to Michigan today. His first stop, making remarks about health care in Southfield, Michigan. Specifically, he's going to be hitting Oakland County. This has become a big battleground county, Tom. What are we seeing there, and what is the Biden campaign strategy in Oakland County?
Right. Well, I mean, if it's odd that Trump is spending time in defending Georgia. Joe Biden, according to the polls, has a 7 percentage point lead in Michigan. So what's he doing in Michigan? I think the Trump campaign, I think the Biden campaign doesn't feel comfortable with the poll lead there. I think they think it's closer than that. And in fact, in 2016, Donald Trump was at 42% in the final polls in Michigan. He ended up with 47.5% in that state. So I think the possibility for Trump to overperform in Michigan is something that has the Biden campaign worried. So they're going to check all their boxes and make sure that they are locking down their vote in Michigan.
And again, he kind of mentioned going back to 2016. Remember, the numbers in 2016 were worse than the numbers that we have right now, and Trump won, which is why I went over all those states. It's all about, and we said it then, it's all about the momentum factor. If you've got the momentum with you and your people are getting out to vote, that's going to make the difference. Biden camp worried about Michigan.
Just speaking of checking all their boxes, because then after that, he'll hold a voter mobilization event in a county just south of there, Wayne County. This is, of course, home to Detroit, Michigan. 39% African-American includes, obviously, the most populous city. But, Tom, what would be the strategy there? You look back at the 2016 results for Hillary Clinton. Obviously, she dominated in this county. What's Joe Biden's goal there?
Yeah, well, she dominated in that county, but she didn't have the turnout that she needed, and certainly not the turnout that Barack Obama got in those counties in 2008, but even in 2012. And that was part of the downfall of Hillary Clinton's campaign. In the urban centers like Milwaukee, like Detroit, like Philadelphia, she did not energize the African-American vote in the way that she needed to. I think the Biden campaign is concerned that Trump will do better with African-Americans this time around than he did before. And they want to make sure, again, for Joe Biden to carry those states, he's going to need to turn out African-American voters in those urban centers better than Hillary Clinton did 4 years ago.
So the trend in Michigan, you're saying Joe Biden worried about what you're seeing here. This is the Real Clear Politics average, 49.8% leading the president, who's polling just under 43%. You're saying there's worry there. Spend more time on the ground in Michigan, Tom. Final thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, if they really felt that the state was well in hand, they wouldn't be spending time there. They'd be spending time in other places. I mean, this is the point of the campaign where you look at where the campaigns are spending their time and their money. Those are the most important things that they have. And it'll tell you exactly where the race stands. And I think the Biden campaign wants to make sure. I think they're a little bit nervous about the fact that they don't feel as comfortable in Michigan as the polls suggest.
Excellent. Okay, so Lee Carter, who is our dial lady on Fox, she was really good this morning talking about the polls and kind of the bigger picture of things. Listen in.
I've never been more optimistic about the prospects in this country than I am today. I got to heal this nation because we have the greatest opportunity of any country in the world to own the 21st century, and we can't do it divided.
We have the strongest economy in the world. We closed it up. We are coming around the corner. We've rebuilt our military. We've rebuilt our borders, and we created new levels of jobs that nobody thought was possible. And next year is going to be better than ever before.
Well, President Trump and Joe Biden participating in dueling town halls last night instead of the head-to-head debate that they were supposed to have. So with 18 days until the election day, what impact could last night's events have? Joining us now with Insight, pollster and president at Maslansky and Partners, Lee Carter. So where do we stand right now? We're a little more than 2 weeks out.
We're a little more than 2 weeks out, and the numbers don't look great polling-wise for the president. He is down about 4.9% in the swing states and over 9% overall. That said, I wouldn't be totally discouraged if you're a Trump supporter for a couple of reasons. Number one, this is very similar to the numbers and how they looked in 2016. Hillary Clinton was ahead by more than five points at the same time in 2016, and Trump still narrowed the gap. The other thing that I'm seeing is that in the states where he's visited in the last week, we've started to see momentum in the polls. So if you look at Florida, for example, where he spent some time this week, he started to narrow in the polls. You look at Iowa, he started to narrow in the polls there. And that's, I think, a really, really big deal for him. The other thing is you have to look at the polls and how they're weighted. And by that, I mean the numbers of people that they're talking to. The numbers of people they're talking to is equally represented between Republicans, Democrats, and independents. And that's simply not the way people turn out and vote. So you've got to look at them with a little bit of weight and a little bit of, they're going to end up leaning a little bit more than you would think towards Donald Trump. And then ultimately, this is going to come down to the undecideds. And in these polls, what you're looking at is, depending on the poll, you're looking between 6 and 11% of people are still undecided in how they're going to vote. A lot of people don't believe that's possible. How could that be the case? The answer to that is really, really simple. There are a number of unanswered questions about both candidates that are important to undecided voters.
Let me go to a break. Dan Moore Show back after this.
Dan Morris Show.
Now I'm hoping that the feeling is right, and I'm wondering if you'll stay for the night. So I'm coming. I don't want to be lonely.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
No one likes a messy situation. When dealing with an unruly septic tank, things can get messy quick. Alabama Septic Services offers competitive pricing and high-quality service, as well as rapid response times. Your go-to for residential and commercial septic tank installation, maintenance, and pumping, as well as field line replacement and installation. They also offer commercial services such as car wash cleaning and dirt pit cleaning. Give Jimmy at Alabama Septic Services a call at 334-264-8184.
Sweet Creek Farm Market, your local 7-day-a-week farmer's market. Your headquarters for all of your produce needs. Sweet Creek also has the largest selection of pumpkins and pecans in town. The new crop of pecans is in. They've got chocolate covered, candied, roasted, and salted, and everything in between. Join them this weekend at Sweet Creek Farm Market for their Arts and Crafts and Pumpkin Festival. It's fun for the whole family. Free entry. Buy fresh. Buy local. Buy Sweet Creek.
This is Frank Bertarelli with Bert's Tackle Box, located in Wetumpka, Alabama. We'd like to take this time to thank Blue Water Broadcasting for their help in getting the name out of Bert's Tackle Box to the community. Thanks again, Blue Water Broadcasting, for all your great support and friendship.
Radio advertising works. Our advertisers swear by it. Call Blue Water Broadcasting if you want to find out how we can increase your sales and bottom line. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking.
Truckers, listen up. Would you like to be home every weekend and two nights during the week? Then you need to get in contact with Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest. Family-owned, family-operated. Wiley Sanders cares about you and your family. Wiley Sanders Trucking. Call them today.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. This is the kind of weekend weather we dreamed about all summer long. Tonight, you'll need a jacket. Clear skies, chilly. Overnight low temperature down to about 46 by dawn. Tomorrow and Sunday, just about perfect. Abundant sunshine, low humidity. 74 tomorrow, 49 tomorrow night. Upper 70s on Sunday. And just a little bit warmer, maybe low 80s Monday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
John Bobo with Capital Tractor. When there's a project to take on, you say bring it on. Just like Kubota Equipment from Capital Tractor. An orange army of one with you in command, turning a big job into no big deal. Kubota, Capital Tractor, and you. Together we do more. Montgomery and Brundage.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Well, Joey, before I do Mortgage Corporation of the South, maybe we should do the drawing for the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket.
Good call. Yes. Let me pull out the drum set. And the winner is Rodney.
I don't think Rodney's ever won before.
No.
Rodney, you can call me at 272-9228. Hope you're listening, my friend. Wish I had your telephone number. I'd call you directly. But you need that for this weekend because there's going to be some great football. So give me a call, 272-9228. Our good friend of the show, Rodney. Speaking of good friend of the show, John Williams is certainly a good friend. As is Ashley. Just texted, messaged Ashley and said, I want to set up my direct payment for my loan. I'm getting really excited about the financial stuff. I cannot tell you how good it feels to be playing around with numbers that you've got extra money to be putting towards other things, such as investments and building wealth, which I'm all about that. Mortgage Corporation of the South can help you do that by refinancing or changing your financial situation. Give them a call at 567-9000. Good credit, bad credit. Particularly if you're not such good credit, they can help you repair that. And then you can really be on the road to savings. It takes a year, year and a half, sometimes two. You make payments to them. They credit your account. They make sure the Equifaxes of the world know that you're making on-time payments. And then your credit rating also turns around. Take advantage of it. Mortgage Corporation of the South, NMLS number 232-876, Equal Housing Lender. Okay, Rodney, you need to call me. I want you to get this now, 272-9228. Let me go back to Lee Carter here. Lee Carter's going to be talking about the undecided voter has unanswered questions.
So, Lee, we didn't get that second debate. How do people feel about that? Are they upset about it? Or when you mention undecided voters, are most people, have they already made up their mind?
I think a lot of people are upset about it. And I think many people are upset that they happened, that the town halls happened at the same time last night. They felt like it was disrespectful, and it didn't allow people really to get a choice unless you recorded one and watched them, one after the other. I think it's also going to be interesting to see the ratings, to see who tuned into which. I think that's going to be telling. The undecided voter is going to play a very significant role in this election, and they're not given the opportunity to hear from both candidates at the same time, and I think that's really, really unfortunate. The unanswered questions that are out there about these candidates are really, really significant, especially when it comes to Joe Biden. Last night, he talked about stacking the court. He didn't really answer the question. He said he thinks he's going to give an answer. That was a big problem for undecided voters. People are also really concerned about Joe Biden. Is he going to go far to the left? He said he's not, but people are still not sure exactly what he's going to do. There's some significant questions about Joe Biden. A lot of people want to know, is he going to shut down the economy again? If things get bad, are we going to find a reasonable way to stay open? That's very, very concerning to voters. Now, on Donald Trump's side, there's some concerns as well. A lot of voters that are undecided want to know what he's going to do with health care. He hasn't made that case. A lot of people fear what's going to happen with pre-existing conditions or other kinds of things, and that's something that the president needs to address. The other thing is related to his character. I think some people have questions about the taxes, and they weren't satisfied with the answer that they heard from him last night. But I don't think that's anything new. I don't think that's going to change anybody's mind. But when you look at it, those things have to be answered for the voter in order to make a decision if you're undecided at this point.
And addressing that, because I was looking through the numbers of the undecided on the opinion dynamic research stuff, and one of the takeaways I got from the debate last night, if you're undecided, because you're not getting, you're going to get this from Lee Carter's next thing, you're not getting a definitive answer about how someone feels about something, such as court packing. With the exception of health care, Donald Trump is pretty clear on how he stands on things. So if you're undecided and you're one person is telling you nothing, another person is telling you something, but there may be one area that he needs to clean up, and that is health care, particularly pre-existing conditions. He needs to clear that up. He's on the right side of it. The Senate has got a piece of legislation to try to pass a bill saying all insurance will have pre-existing conditions put in it. It might that go away. The Dems won't let it come to the floor, of course. But I think that in the undecided, I think Donald Trump actually wins in that. If you're not a scared white female who is voting for Biden because you don't like Trump, but if you're truly undecided, I think, and I kind of got that from listening to some of the undecided people last night. Let me say with Lee Carter, undecided voters are looking for an epiphany.
When do most undecideds, when do they choose? Do they wait all the way up to the election? Or, you know, do they wait to the end of the last debate?
I think there's a moment for them. There's sort of an epiphany moment that they're looking for. In the undecided voters that we've spoken to, they are looking for answers on specific things. They want to hear from Joe Biden. What does America look like under you? They want the answer to the Supreme Court. They want the answer on, are you really going to go to far left? What's going to happen? Really, what are you going to do differently about COVID? Not just attacking what Donald Trump did. What are you going to do differently? And I think if they get the answer, they might lean that way. Otherwise, I think many people are going to stick with Donald Trump. They're almost looking for a reason to leave him. Because look, the bottom line is this, and I think there was a poll from the Pew organization that was really, really telling. 56% of Americans feel better off today, despite COVID, than they did back in 2016. And that's with a pandemic. They're still feeling more optimistic. So despite everything, that to me favors Donald Trump.
So that's an important factor there. And that's basically what I was saying, that they will stay with Trump because Trump is much more definitive than wishy-washy Joe. So with that, we're going to get into Rudy's interview, but before I get to that, let me hit Brett Tallman, who's with let me not do that. Let me do Dan Bongino talking about Savannah's performance last night, staying with the debate.
The 2 million figure is if you did absolutely nothing.
I wouldn't be able to get the word out. And the word is
false. And you know what?
In 1994, you've often said that more cops clearly mean less crime. Do you still believe that?
Yes.
Critics calling out moderator George Stephanopoulos for asking Joe Biden soft questions while Savannah Guthrie grills the president.
Joining us now to react is author of Follow the Money, the shocking deep state connections of the anti-Trump cabal, Dan Bongino. Dan, in the middle of everything you're dealing with, you are paying close attention. You are watching everything. Sure. I know that you watched last night. Tell me your main takeaways from the town halls.
Well, first, I mean, listen, I'm not a journalist. I don't pretend to be. I'm a partisan commentator, always have been. But really, trying to get myself out of the partisan boots for a second and just being somewhat objective, Savannah Guthrie was just really annoying. I wanted to hear the president answer. Now, whereas interrupting your political opponent can be a tactic, and I honestly think I'm in the minority, but I think it was effective for President Trump, interrupting as a moderator is totally different. What's the tactic there? You're not the opponent, you're the moderator. I mean, people are tuning into the network there to see and listen to the president's, to see his responses and listen to what he said. And what a joke. I mean, what was that? It was like machine gun like fire for the interruptions. And think about this. This was really odd. Talk about how these two candidates are treated, right? Savannah Guthrie hammers the president, interrupts him relentlessly about a tax story no one can authenticate. This is, by the way, the new standards, apparently, for journalism. We can't authenticate it. No one's seen his tax returns. There is zero allegation of illegality whatsoever in there. You may not like the tax return story, but there's no allegation he broke the law. And yet nobody asks Biden about the most explosive set of emails we've seen in a presidential campaign in what, 20 years, that his son may have some dealings with an enemy of the United States that his dad may have known about? I mean, come on. It's just embarrassing at this point.
Okay, so now Dan Bongino is going to be talking about Savannah again, jumping into the argument. And do you remember the look she would give that? She would have this kind of weird look like, you lying son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Should any of this come as a shock to anyone? I mean, you were on Twitter yesterday, the day before. You saw all the pressure on NBC for, one, scheduling this debate in the first place, or this town hall, I should say, or debate, either way. But two, for scheduling at the same time. They were under a lot of pressure. It was acknowledged pressure. None of this should come as a shock.
Yeah, but do the right thing. I mean, if you're going to do one of these town halls, then do the right thing. I mean, have some dignity. That town hall yesterday was clear. I mean, she was at one point, Todd, Savannah Guthrie was jumping in for the town hall questioners.
Right.
They're asking a question. President Trump's responding. Let them come back. She's jumping in for them. I mean, it was really, again, I'm not a journalist. I'm not pretending to be. Obviously, my opinions are strong in favor of my side, but she did herself no favors last night. And I got to tell you, again, I support President Trump. It's not a mystery, but I thought he did quite well. There could have been some better moments, but I thought he did really well, and I thought she looked terrible.
By the way, Dan Bongino had some surgery done and had a tumor removed that the pathology report showed that it was cancerous, and he's going to have to go through some pretty severe treatment. Ooh. Which, from reading blogs within the head and neck cancer community, seems to be chemo and radiation, which is pretty severe, which will take him off the playing field for a while. Now, if it's strictly chemo, then that's a lot easier than the chemo and radiation. But our prayers go out for Dan Bongino.
Absolutely.
Biden, a national security risk. This is becoming a bigger and bigger subject.
Dan, let's talk about this. Fox News obtains emails related to Hunter Biden's alleged financial dealings with China. This is one day after other emails show alleged dealings with Ukraine. Dan, you know, there's been no strong denial from Joe Biden, from the Biden campaign this week about all of these emails that have come out. There also weren't questions about this last night. What do you make of that?
Well, listen, this is serious. You know, I was on with Hannity last night, and I said something I'm very serious about. And I know it may trouble some people on the left and maybe even some people on the right, but that's okay. If these emails are in fact authenticated and you are accurate, they have not denied the authenticity of the emails. They haven't confirmed, but they haven't denied them either. Joe Biden has to step out of this race. He has to. I mean, this is a an unbelievable and off the charts national security risk if these emails are authenticated. Jillian, if he does not step out and the Republicans get a majority or have the votes, even with some Democrats, he'll have to be impeached immediately upon swearing in. I know that may sound really wild to some folks, but think about what we're talking about if these emails are authenticated. We're talking about a guy who could be the president of the United States. We have information on his son that we know the Chinese Communist Party has. And here's the dangerous part. We don't know what else they have. This is a serious blackmail risk for the president of the United States. I don't have any easy way to describe it. And believe me, it gives me no joy in saying that. I'll tell you why. This is not a partisan statement. I think Biden's a weak candidate. I think President Trump's going to win. I think it would throw the election in turmoil. But you cannot have a president of the United States in office with this kind of material out there and other material out there we don't even know about by one of our enemies as a country that's a nuclear power. You can't have it.
Okay, so you remember Trump, is that the Russians had something over him. That's why he's acting like that. And we must investigate because there's a national security risk. Well, if these are authenticated and Biden, Hunter Biden, was taking money from the Chinese, let's just use Chinese, and because they're smart folks, they go in and do this kind of stuff, and you're going to get into the Rudy stuff, where they're doling out money for the big guy and Hunter's holding on to the big guy, which is Joe Biden, his share of it. That means they've got something over him. They can blow him up at any minute. And so to save his butt, he will basically kowtow to the Chinese, which is a Chinese word, by the way. So this is a legitimate argument. It's something within my circles has been talked about and talked about very seriously. And the fact that the media will not do anything about this and not even say anything, they are not doing their job, and they're putting the country at a national security risk by ignoring this. Again, say China has got something over Hunter Biden and or Joe Biden. I believe it's both. Then to what extent would Joe Biden go to save his butt politically and just on the disgrace scale? And he would go a long way, and I think it would kowtow to the Chinese. And therefore, they would get what they wanted because they would have that leverage over him. So now, let me go to a break, come back, Dan Bongino, then we'll get into Rudy right after this.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Boo! Guess who? That's right. This is Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, where we make mortgages easy. If your finances are haunting you, it's time to call Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. That's 567-4223. What if I told you that the money you've been looking for all this time is in your home? This is no trick. By refinancing your mortgage, you may be eligible to lower your interest rate or eliminate monthly mortgage insurance. Would you like to pay off credit card debt, make home improvements, or fund a large purchase? A mortgage refinance may be the answer. What are you waiting for? If your current mortgage payment makes you scream, then it's time to call the Alabama Home Mortgage Team. Clear the cobwebs. Call me, Kim Williams, today at 567-4223. Or visit our website at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to see just how much money you could be saving with an Alabama Home Mortgage. NMLS 372-374, Equal Housing Lender.
Trustworthy. Accurate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Okay, guys. Final segment of the Dan Morris Show on a Friday. Let's finish out Dan Bongino. And Juan Williams did this little snarky thing. The only people who met with Russians were the Trump boys, the Trump kids. Well, he neglected, and nobody was smart enough on the five to say, well, the person that he met with Fusion GPS before the meeting and then flew back down to Washington, D.C. and met with them after the meeting. But I guess that meeting doesn't count. Listen to Dan Bongino.
Dan, you've heard critics on the left over the last 24, 48 hours saying, but what about the president's kids, President Trump's kids, and their business dealings, their foreign business dealings? How do you respond?
Well, they're in real estate. They build buildings in foreign countries. I mean, what? I don't understand what the charge is there. I get what you're saying. I mean, devil's advocate's great. It always keeps us sharp on our side, and it should keep the president sharp, too. There should be questions about the president's business dealings when appropriate. No one's above the law. The question, Todd, is we've been asking those questions to the president with investigations, a hoax impeachment trial, and everything else for now 4 years, roughly 4 years, and we found what? We found nothing that the president, his kids build buildings overseas. I mean, there's never been a credible allegation of illegality anywhere. And we've had multiple investigations at the state and federal level. We've had congressional investigations. We've had Adam Schiff dedicated full time. So my question is, are we going to dedicate those same assets now to former Vice President Biden? I mean, it's only fair, right? I'm not asking anything unusual, nothing unprecedented, to find out if there is illegality there.
Let's go to the phones and go to Edward. Edward, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show on a Friday.
How you doing?
Doing good.
Dan, I got a question for you, buddy. I've been listening to your show for a long time. This is the first time caller here now. But I want to ask you a question here that's been puzzling me for years here. And I guess it's been, this has been the problem with me and the left-wing side here for quite some time. They accused the Trump administration in 2016 of collusion with the Russians to rig the election. How did they rig the Electoral College?
They didn't.
How do you rig the Electoral College?
They can't.
Okay, but you know, no CNN, nobody says this on these networks here. They make it sound like they rigged the election. And what is frustrating to me is nobody asked this point to these people to where, how do you rig the Electoral College? You can't rig the Electoral College.
Well, they didn't even rig the election. And what they did is they did some tampering around. But if you listen to a Democrat, they'll say, and without a doubt, Russia exclusively wanted to help Donald Trump and did it in a huge way. It was a tiny amount of money out of the trillion of dollars that was spent.
Exactly. Okay. There's a lot of stupid people here on the left-wing side here, right?
No comment.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye. He could have gotten in as a first-time caller, but he decided not to. Or didn't want to play. Dan Bongino. Now let's do a Rudy. Rudy's going to be talking about Hunter Biden laptop.
Griff was just talking about how it sounded like Hunter was trying to get a deal with a Chinese energy firm, and then in another one back in 2017 sent by Robert Biden, and we should say that is what these are believed, involves a deal where it appears Hunter is asking for $10 million a year. It seems as you are the source of these email, right?
Well, not really. The source of the email is a merchant, a guy who repairs hard drives that Hunter Biden left it off with. He's actually been interviewed by the press and affirmed that. He had them for quite some time, and he actually turned them over because the FBI had them for 6 months and done nothing with them. And then he was quite upset with the coverage, the kind of coverage you're describing tonight, about how unfair it was. He happens to be a fan of mine, unlike Biden's attorney. And thought I was being treated very unfairly.
Yeah,
so he called my lawyer, and he said, And he said, I have a group of emails that are shocking to me and display right on the face of it a number of federal crimes. And I'm even a lawyer.
Yeah.
So my lawyer went down there. He vetted him for 2 weeks, actually. And I emphasize to you how this is authenticated. First of all, I did and my lawyer did. Okay, you don't have to accept that. I gave them to the New York Post and they held them for a week and authenticated them. I mean, I don't think the New York Post would publish them without being absolutely certain they're authentic. Finally, they don't even dispute that they're authentic, and I'll give you the best one of all. The Big Mouth lawyer made a very big mistake. Before this was even out, when it was just they were called about it, first thing he does is call that merchant, and he says, can I have my client's hard drive back? So he's basically admitting for his client, as his client's agent, that's Hunter Biden's hard drive. And if you would like to send a representative of your show to my office, I'll have you take a look at it. You tell me if it isn't authentic. It's authentic as hell. Some of those pictures on it can only have come from him. And I'll tell you why I know it for sure. I have about 10 pieces of confidential information nobody knows, except me and Hunter Biden. Kept it that way. You know, I investigated cases of 50 years. Every one of those hits the mark.
Everyone.
In other words, I have an anonymous source. I'll give you an example. I have an anonymous source that reports on a meeting at the State Department, which would violate the Foreign Agents Registration Act. And Hunter Biden was taken in the back door and kept off the books. The gentleman who was involved in it and who told me about it had the date. I've had that for a year and a half. That very date shows up in his emails. There are five emails setting up that appointment, that date, that exact time. Mm. I've got five of those if anybody cares to examine. They're not even disputing it. This is Hunter Biden's emails, texts, and really, the photographs will shock the hell out of you.
There needs to be, this is only going to work if the media picks it up. The media can be, cannot only be Fox. It can be Fox and New York Post and then a third outlet, but it needs to be a wider than just Post, New York Post and Fox. Go to number three, kickback for Joe Biden. This is big, boys and girls.
And Mr. Mayor, what's next? Do you have anything in those emails tying Joe Biden to Hunter's international business?
You got to be kidding me. Sure. I have a memo that, you know the memo that says 10% for the big guy?
Yeah.
We got to figure out who the big guy is? Okay.
Yep.
About a day later, Hunter is laying out the office he's going to share with the Chinese communists. He's going to share it with a Chinese communist intelligence agent. The first two keys he asked for is for Joe Biden and Jill Biden. I have that memo. What's he putting his father in that office for if his father's not getting 10%, if his father's not the big guy? I'll give you another one. Hunter Biden is writing to his daughter and explaining to his daughter how unfair he's been treated all his life. And at the very end, he says, I've been supporting this family for 30 years. But unlike Pop, I'm not going to ask you to kick back half your salary.
Mm.
Now, what does that tell you? That explains the whole RICO scheme. The money goes to the Biden brother, James, the brother Frank, the sister-in-law, and most of it to Hunter. Hunter pays the expenses. That's why Joe has all those beautiful houses that the Washington Post has said, gee, how can he afford those houses? I wonder. Because he's taking bribes, Washington Post.
Well,
and his son is holding it for him. The son is paying for everything. The son has to kick back half to him. What the hell kind of family is that? And the son couldn't earn a penny. The son is a degenerate drug addict. I'm sorry. I feel bad for him. But you ask this question. Why did Joe put his son in that position? A drug addict, just thrown out of the Navy, in and out of rehab six times, taking drugs while he's in rehab, and he puts him in business with four of the most crooked people in the world. Now, that's got to be stupidity or greed.
I wish you wouldn't keep doing the drug thing. That's moot. It's just get down to the facts, stay with the facts, don't do the other stuff, and don't do the personal attack. If the media will pick up on this thing, this will be big. Somebody needs to ask for his banking records. They ask for Donald Trump's. They need to ask for his banking records because this could be the real deal. Joey, thank you for a great show.
Good show.
Guys, be good. Be safe. Be back Monday at 12 o'clock. I'm going to keep doing this until I get it right. Grab your day of the weight. He's next. Adios.